Hello, and welcome to Small Business Happy Hour, a podcast where we interview a different entrepreneur or small business owner every week to hear their story.
We chat about their business, passions, struggles, and all things small business. Oh, and we drink with our guests during the interview, hence the happy hour.
I'm your host, Derek, founder of Yoga for All Humans, a fully online yoga studio.
And I'm your host, Holly, creator of the blog The Bitter Lemon and author of many books. We are so happy you're here.
Hi, Holly.
Hello. What up? What up?
What up? What up? What is it? Saturday? I've just been productive. I'm headed out of town for work. So trying to get shit done before I leave.
Yeah. I am also trying to be productive on my, you know, personal projects today. Etsy shop. I literally, right before we got on here, published my 200th listing.
Wow.
In my shop. Yeah. I know. Sound the alarms. I have so many more ideas. My ultimate goal is to have 1,000 listings.
That's cool.
But, you know, one at a time.
One at a time. Yeah, that's fair. I'll probably get some yoga stuff done tomorrow. I always get to the airport like really early because I don't like rushing, you know?
Yeah.
But the Austin, you know, security and stuff usually goes pretty fast. But I like just go sit at a bar and drink a mimosa and have my laptop and do some work, you know, while I'm waiting. So I'll get some more shit done tomorrow.
Airport culture.
Yeah, no shit. Actually, no. My bartender wasn't there, but usually there's a bartender that knows me.
At the Austin airport?
Yeah.
Where do you go into the Austin airport? Where do you usually get your drink at?
Forget what it's even called. I just know what it looks like, you know?
Yeah, because you're always flying out of that like same area, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to look and see what it's called. Because there's a certain bar in the Austin airport that I go to. And then on the way back from whenever I'm flying out of New Orleans, there's like this like circular bar kind of in the middle that I usually go to. It's a nice like open area. And it's not as crowded as like one of the normal bars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my bar preferences, yes.
Yeah. That's fun.
I know. So you wanted to do something fun for our listeners this week. So considering our guest she called herself a psychic, a little bit more than just a psychic, but tarot was a theme.
Yes. So our guest today is Colleen McCann, and her business is Style Rituals, which has really gone on a journey over the years. But Colleen is a former, you know, stylist, like a fashion stylist. Mm-hmm. And she started working with crystals and sort of intuitively like cleaning out people's closets and showing them how they can use crystals in their everyday life. But she's also, you know, provides readings for people, like personal readings or business readings. And to be honest, I cannot recall how I initially came across Colleen, but it was during the pandemic, and she was holding these gatherings over Zoom. During, she usually would do one for the new, like each moon, and she would make an altar and pull a card, like a tarot card. And I just, that was like really when I was starting to get into crystals. So I feel like my journey with tarot and crystals really, like, she has taught me so much in the little time that I was sort of like following her. So I was really pumped when she agreed to come on the show, because she, I just think her approach is so approachable.
Approachable is the word that we used in the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Like she, she does not overly complicate it. She, you know, is sharing how you can use crystals and tarot in your everyday. And I feel like she makes it not scary. Like some of the stuff is scary. So I thought I could pull some cards for our listeners before we get into the interview.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
So I will start. I have two different decks I was looking through, I have a moon deck as well, but I have not really used that as much. So I brought the two decks that I use most often, and the first one is one that Colleen used, and it's the first deck I ever bought. It's called Beauty, Heart, and Soul, and it's daily love cards. So I feel like this is for if tarot scares you, these cards literally just have like almost an not quite an affirmation, but just like words. Like I just opened it up and this one says pray. So it's like if you're looking for something to guide your journaling, or maybe you just need a word for the day, word for the week, whatever. So I will shuffle and pull a word first. And I think there are affirmation cards. There's all sorts of different types. What do you think? Should I go center deck, bottom?
You can't see where I'm pointing. And
No.
to the right,
Like
like this
this
one,
side?
a little bit further over. There, that one.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. So we got the Watch Your Language card.
Wow, we did drop a lot of F-bombs in this episode.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay, so this the deck comes with like a little book, so it sort of has each card has obviously you can take it for face value, or you can sort of look on the in the book and it has a little bit more about it. So this says, your words harness power beyond measure. Every single second we are creating our reality with our thoughts and words. Do you want to author a sad story or a triumphant tale of joy, belief, and abundance? Crafting the life of your dreams begins with a vocabulary of victory. Keep it clean, positive, and upbeat. After all, it's your life.
I talk about this a lot in my yoga classes, about our inner dialogue. And, a lot of times we'll say things to ourselves that we would never say to someone else, So that watch your language goes for how you talk to yourself too.
Yeah. So next, I did buy a tarot deck. Again, this was after seeing Colleen pull the cards and explain like her meaning, her different meanings. It's like, I'm not really scared to. So I bought this deck for myself maybe 2 years ago. And the deck I got is called Real Talk Tarot. I can post a picture of these on our Instagram at Small Business Happy Hour. I just bought this one at TJ Maxx. I saw it and I was like, this is so cute. All the tarot cards are like they look kind of hand-drawn, and I don't know if you can see, but they look like a cell phone,
Oh yeah, those are cool.
like a smartphone, and they're like watercolor, so they're very approachable. And it comes with a book. I'm assuming most decks probably do, but this one came with a pretty extensive book that not only explains what each card means, but it also gives you different ways to lay them out. So if you're looking to do like a past, present, future, or I typically do the week ahead, which is eight cards. So it gives you one card per day and then like an overall theme of the week. So again, if you're looking for journaling or just like a Sunday ritual, something like that, I really like doing it. Sometimes like for friends, I'll pull their tarot for their birthday, or when I went to the ranch last summer, I brought the cards in because I felt like that was a very
Yeah,
spiritual
that's cool.
place. So I did tarot for a few people there. All right. Which card?
Let's do right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
No.
This one?
No. No. A little bit further over. By the
Which
way. That
This one?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, this one we got the lovers. And with tarot, it also, if you pull it upside down, like that has a different meaning. So we
Right.
pulled it right side up. Yeah. So we got the
Okay.
love. It's really
Oh, yeah.
cute. Okay. This one is about relationships and decision and a decision. The card can predict meeting a new partner or a career opportunity, and your choice now will have a significant effect on your future. In the upright position, which is what we pulled, the person coming into your orbit has a positive influence and offers true love. If you are already in a relationship, a decision whether to take your partnership to a deeper level will be made. The Lovers card brings to light your ability to make a decision based on your long-term future rather than short-term goals. You are asked to make a mature decision that supports your true needs, and to connect with a partner who is emotionally available to you. Whatever your situation, the message is clear. Follow your heart and not your head.
Okay.
So maybe our listeners are going to be having to make some decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Some mature decisions.
Mature decisions. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an interesting episode. If it sounds like I dropped off at some point during the episode, it's because I did. I've been going on a journey with my internet. We just switched providers officially yesterday. So yeah, I did drop off for a bit there, but I'll try to edit it to where it's not like choppy or anything. But thankfully, Colleen had no internet issues. That's what is important. So yeah. Yeah, but it's a really cool episode. Like, I didn't know her story before we talked to her, and what a journey, and just a very approachable mindset of it. You know, her and I kind of connected on, like, you know, how, you know, spirituality or whatever you want to call it, you know, doesn't have to be scary. And the same thing with like yoga, you know, we were kind of feeling synergies like that, because that's how my studio is, you know, just being real, and it doesn't always have to be like super serious, you know?
Yeah, I will say that I don't, you know, Colleen's business and what she does is so interesting. I feel like we didn't get a ton to talk about the actual business of what she mm-hmm. does day in and day out. So I do just want to mention that if you're interested in what she does, definitely visit her website.
Yeah.
We'll put it in the show notes, but she has a book that, like, it's Crystals RX or Crystal, it's Crystals RX, but like Crystal Prescriptions.
Prescription, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. She has a book, but even if you just sign up for her newsletter, because she sends out emails, like I just got the email for March 1st saying like how to clear your energy for the first, like for the month. And then she also send out tips for how to spring clean like your energy. So if you're looking for just like little tips like that in your inbox, definitely sign up for her newsletter.
Cool. That's awesome. I'll have to sign up.
Yeah, it's fun.
Very cool. Well, all right. Well, y'all enjoy. It's a fun one. Hey, Colleen.
Hey. Hello.
How are you?
Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you both.
Good. You too. I guess, you know, usually whenever we reach out to people, a lot of times one of us is a customer of them. And so Holly is a customer of yours. And I'm not you today. So
I know. I feel a little starstruck. I'm so excited that you're here. I was telling Derek that I feel bad because I can't remember what you called it, but I believe it was during the pandemic, like the height of the pandemic, you had these free events where it was, I believe, at the new moon, and you would set up like a, I had never heard of it before until you set it up. You had like your scarf. What is it called?
Oh, like an altar?
An altar, yes. You would set up your altar and pull like a tarot card, but you had like a non-traditional tarot deck. And I told Derek, like, this was when I was first learning about crystals. And so I bought the same tarot deck that you had. And I also bought one of your pink bags. And so I still have, I pulled them out. I have my three crystals that you sent me. I don't know.
I'm so touched.
If you still do the pink bags, but I thought it was such a cool thing. But
well, funny you should say that. I do the pink bags, and that's something when people come to me for private readings, they get crystals and lots of tarot cards, and all that gets sent in a mystical care package to their house. Yeah. So everybody does get bags, and funny you should say that, because I was I don't ever pull for people without permission, obviously, but yeah. I was hoping that you would let both of me for you pick a card and a crystal and send it to your houses if you're comfortable giving me your addresses. So I'll send you both so a little cool kit if that's cool.
Yeah.
We're yeah. Okay. Honored.
I actually got a, and I went to Portland in November. One of my friends lives there, and I got a tattoo based on a tarot reading at a tattoo shop there. they did like a full tarot reading and the design, the tattoo around the tarot reading itself. So yes, we're definitely into it.
Wait, who's the tattoo artist? Is it April Cornell?
No, it was Tony and Amber. They're married and I have a little shop.
Okay.
Plush. It's fairly new in the Portland area. It was a really cool experience.
Oh, I love hearing that.
You know, this is technically a happy hour podcast, so we invite our guests to drink with us. I don't know if you remembered that. Are you taking
I just have beverages? Water.
Okay.
Love it.
Water is a good choice. We actually have had a lot of sober guests. I don't know if you're sober, but we have had a number of
I am definitely not sober, but okay. I am honestly still on the other end of being well, and I have any other time I would love to have a cocktail with both of you.
Holly usually does mocktails during the week. Are you doing a mocktail tonight, Holly?
Yes, I'm having a zero proof champagne, which this one's pretty good. There was another one I had that I liked better, but this one is crisp and bubbly and doesn't taste like soda water, so I'll consider it a win.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it that's not the Shirley brand that we like so much.
No, it's not. Okay. But there was another one I got from Just Total Wine called Almost Zero or Absolute Zero, something like that. That one was really good. This one I got at Central Market, and it's good, but I feel like I like the other one's better.
Cool. Well, you know what I'm having?
Red wine.
Yeah.
Oh, I love red wine.
That's the running joke, is that I always have wine. Like, I tried to get creative a few times and like do cocktails and stuff, but I'm just such a wino. I was like,
just
what I like, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know
what? Pinot Noir as usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite too.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I discovered because I kind of went on like a little wine journey of like, I always knew that Pinot Noir was my favorite. And then I would just go to Total Wine and grab just like a bunch of different random ones. And then I would try to figure out what it was that I liked about certain ones, you know? And I guess I have a good palate because I figured out I like French wines the best. And then whenever I went to Portland, that was everything that they were serving at the wineries was Pinot Noir. And I was like, there has to be a reason that everything on your menu is Pinot Noir. Is that what grows the best here? Because I know... Mm-hmm. That's similar to French climates. And that's why I like French Pinot Noirs, because it's where the grapes grow the best. So
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a sommelier.
Yes, you're a sommelier.
Yeah,
you got the nose.
Yeah. After you went through like the bargain aisle, I took
a lot. A lot of times, whatever.
There could be some gems in there.
I know, you're right.
This wine is not from the gas station. A lot of weeks I'll be like, yeah, I picked this up at the gas station. Oh my God. Well, Holly, you did a good job with the questions, so I will not steal your thunder, and I'll just chime in as we go.
Yes, you have to chime in. So yeah, I really would just like to hear about your journey, how it started. You know, I know you have like a fashion background, so I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I worked in New York City for approximately 15 years as a fashion stylist. And in my late 20s, I'm 44 now, I can say that my intuition volume started to turn way up, and all these wild things were happening to me. I started seeing ghosts walk through the walls of my apartment.
Wow.
And having premonition dreams, hearing voices, which is known as clairaudience, when you are hearing messages coming to you. And the craziest thing was that I was having New York street weirdos come up to me on the subway and the sidewalk telling me they had a message for me that I was a healer and my whole life was about to change. You know, I was not comfortable with this and ran kicking and screaming and yelled, fuck you. In a lot of people's faces, like, fuck you, weirdo, get away from me. So that's how it started.
Wow.
I had kind of a bumpy spiritual awakening, I guess. Yeah. And I didn't tell anybody this was going on. I'm feeling crazy, out of my skin, weird, not knowing what to do. I grew up in a, you know, nice Midwest Catholic household, and then all this weird stuff starts happening to me, and I didn't really feel like that was somewhere that I could seek information from. And I thought about, I said, well, you know, if I go to a shrink and tell them this, I feel like they're just going to medicate me. And I thought, you know, that just doesn't feel like the right fit for this scenario. So I ended up in a psychic's office, and the psychic said, "You're psychic." Mm. And I was like, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Yes, you are." And said, "Is all this stuff starting to happen?" And I said, "Yeah, everything you're saying is happening to me." And his name is Asa Hoffman. He's a very well-respected psychic. And I was just like, I don't want any of this. And he said, "Well, your whole life's about to change." And I said, "Okay, you and all the New York street weirdos, you're like the fifth person to say this to me." He said, "You're going to leave fashion. You're going to leave New York. And you're going to move to California." And once again, I said, "Fuck no, fuck you, fuck no." And so I thought, "Oh my God, what do I do?" And the last piece of information he gave to me, he was like, "You need to read a bunch of these books." And he said, "You need to find yourself a mentor." And I said, "A mentor for what? Like, what is whatever this is?"
Right.
And he said, "The mentor will show up." And I said, "Okay." So I didn't tell anybody this was going on. My boyfriend at the time didn't know, none of my girlfriends, my family, my coworkers. And I had one friend that was into auras and juicing. Okay. And talking about spirits. Mm-hmm. And I said, "You know what? I know where the safe place is to land this information." So I went out to visit my friend Ava. And I said, "Hey, Ava, you know, there's a lot of weird things happening to me." And I shared with her, and she's like, "Oh, you finally figured it out." And I said, "Figured out what?" And she said, "You're an intuitive." And I said, "I don't even know what that is." And she said, "You need a teacher." And I said, "Why does everybody keep saying that?" So she said, "Hey, there's this woman named Marissa. She lives in San Francisco. I think you need to talk to her. I think she can help you." And I said, "Okay, who's Marissa?" And she said, "Well, she's a long distance energy healer, of course." And I said, "Great. What's that?" And then I got an explanation about that. And she said, "She's basically going to come through the phone and heal you." And I was like, "I don't know about this." You can see I was like, again, kicking and screaming the whole way along the spiritual journey. But I was feeling so sick and so out of sorts and crazy and not having a lot of support around this yet. And I decided to book a session with Marissa. And I was told to put my headset in, lay down, just be open to whatever she had to say to me. And we got on the phone and she started to just like, you know, kind of open her reading space and take a couple deep breaths and ask me to take a couple deep breaths. And all of a sudden my pelvis convulsed and it felt like someone had put a defibrillator on my hip bones. Mm-hmm. And I was just laying there staring at the ceiling and I said nothing. And then she said, "Well, that's better. I had to readjust your hips before we could start working together."
Oh my God.
And all I could think about was, I was like, "Can she see me? Like, what's going on?" And I said nothing. And so she does this energy healing on me. And she told me a lot of things that there's, again, no way she could have known about me that were true. And all I knew was that when I got off the phone with her, that I felt better. I felt more balanced. I felt like I had some information about what was happening to me. And so I went and saw her again and again and again and again. And she ended up becoming my first teacher. And I worked with her once a week for 3 years.
Wow.
And still nobody has any idea this is happening. And then it was time for me to start to train in a group setting. And again, I went kicking and screaming because I worked in fashion and wanted nothing to do with whatever this was. And my goal when I worked with Marissa was to make the voices go away, make the intuition go away, silence it, temper it, just like put it in the back of the closet. That was my goal. And to return back to my happy little life as a New York City fashion stylist. Well, that's not what happened. I was away in Joshua Tree actually for a photo shoot, and I was taking my weekly call with Marissa. And as far as she's concerned, and again, remember, Zoom doesn't exist yet. I'm on the phone, and as she thinks I'm in Brooklyn, and I was not. And she starts talking to me about stuff, and she's like, "Look, I really need you to go to school for this." And I said, "I don't want to." I'm fighting her. I was like, "This is not for me." And she said, "Okay," and was getting pissed, and rightfully so. And she said, "Well, you could at least check out the school I mentioned to you while you're there." And she hung up the phone. And I said, how she know where there is? How she know I'm somewhere?"
Yeah.
And I looked up the Four Winds School for Energy Medicine, and they were holding classes 11 miles down the street from where I was staying.
Oh my gosh.
So again, I was like, okay, this is too weird for me to ignore. And so I ended up working or studying, doing my personal work at the Four Winds School for Energy Medicine for 3 more years.
Wow.
And yeah, during this time, I had so many major experiences there that, again, I couldn't ignore what was going on. And I knew that I had to start to make some changes in my professional life, but didn't really know exactly how to do that. Mm-hmm. Of course, the aha moment came due to a Vogue magazine, if you'd like to hear that story.
Oh,
actually, what thrust me into my healing career.
Yeah.
We were at the end of our training, near the end of all the study, over the course of 3 years. And I was in a divination class. And this was a class I was incredibly excited about, because this is the one that you're using some type of tool to give a reading to somebody, which is a big part of what I do now. So it is cards and crystals and other things that energy healers use to do this. So I was very excited to be there. And the teacher said, "Tonight we're going to have a psychic affair." And the idea was that the room would get split in half, and half the room would be the reader, right? The intuitive, and would give the other half of the room tiny mini readings. So you'd get to like sit and like almost like speed dating, right? And then you'd get to switch, and then you would become the client, and you'd like stop at all these little stations and get a mini reading. And the idea was to help you flex your intuitive muscle to learn how to read different energies and do it quickly. That's the exercise. But at the time, all I heard was, "I got invited to a party. What was I going to wear?" Like, this was my first concern. So yeah. The teacher also said, "We want you to come as your alter ego." Oh. Okay, fine. So I was about to go back into Manhattan. I had been traveling for like 6 weeks. It was right before Fashion Week in September. And I wasn't like going back to Brooklyn. I was going straight to Manhattan. I had all my clothes with me. I was going to stay at a hotel, so I have all my press clothes with me. And I thought, okay, I'm tearing open my suitcase and I'm like, what do I have? Like, I need a mystical scarf, like where I need a caftan, like help me out here. I need something that feels super woo woo. And I was totally coming up empty. And I was like, shit, all I have are my fashion clothes. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is my alter ego. I will wear my fashion clothes and I will be a fashion psychic. Does this exist? Not yet. So I blew my hair out. I was in full body lamé. I was like, okay, I put my lashes on. I have everything together. And then I thought, but I don't have anything to intuitively read yet. Like, what am I going to do? And I thought, okay, I could use crystals or something like that. And I was like, but that doesn't go with my outfit. So I thought, I need a fashion magazine. That's what I need. And I started to think about it. I was like, fashion magazines kind of feel like a deck of tarot cards, right? There's color and numbers and symbols and all kinds of meanings to everything that's going on each page. I was like, I've got to get a hold of a fashion magazine. The only problem was I was in upstate New York in the middle of the woods at this retreat center called Omega. So me and my stilettos ran through the woods and went to the bookstore, and I came in and I was like, went up to the counter, was like, hi, do you have a fashion magazine? And oh my God, the man there, this like super hippie guy, just looked at me and like once over me and just was like, this girl got off on the wrong stop on the Metro North. Like, you are an hour and a half north of where you're supposed to be in Manhattan. In full judgment, this guy's like, no. And I said, do you have a women's health magazine? No. A pamphlet from the Dalai Lama or Oprah? No. Okay. So somebody taps me on the shoulder, because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I need my accessories and I don't know where they are. And this girl's like, hey, I overheard you. I'm a photographer. I'm in from Australia. I'm here doing a breathwork class. She's like, I have the Vogue September issue in my room. Do you want it? And I said, oh my God, yes. Thank you so much. So this angel gave me the Vogue September issue. And now I have that, and I'm running through the woods to my class and flung open the doors. And I was like, okay, I've got to like set up my reading space. And I was like looking around. I was like, okay, what do I have? I'm at a spiritual center. And I was like, cool. I was like, there's a red yoga mat and two red yoga poops. And so I did red carpet readings, and I would have someone sit down on the poop with me, totally channeling, you know, I think about like Joan Rivers from a long time ago, like on a red carpet. And so I'd have people sit down. And the thing was, the first time somebody sat down to get a red carpet reading, I again was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I was like, I don't know how to psychically read a fashion magazine. I was like, this whole thing looked good. Like, it looks good from the outside, but how do I actually do this? I forgot to think about that part. And so I kind of relied on what's known as bibliomancy, where somebody would open a book and you pick a page and then you would get some kind of information from the page. That's the idea of that divination system. And so I had someone sit down and I said, hey, pick a page between 1 and 402. And the first person sat down and picked a page. And I remember this very vividly, that it was a Marc Jacobs bag ad. And there was a very tall female model, very androgynous. She's naked and she's behind a big bag doing the moves. And the funny part was, the girl that was sitting in front of me, I could tell, I don't think she was very into fashion. So this whole thing that was going on was like very weird. It was very unorthodox altogether. But I just looked at it and I said, oh my gosh, your whole therapy practice is about to change. You're going to move and you're going to help people that are, you know, need support around gender identity. And she just looked at me with this crazy look and said, "That's exactly what I'm trying to do. How did you know that?" And the only thing I could say to this poor girl that I could tell was not into me was like, yeah. "The Marc Jacobs bag ad told me so." I ripped out the ad and I handed it to her. And I said, "You know, I wish you well. And I want you to think about this experience you had with me as your guiding light for this journey." Yeah, I got kind of a strange look, but it was working. And I kept thinking to myself, like, this was the first time I kind of felt in the flow and in my stride that I was using my intuitive skills. I was completely dressed up like I was going to a fashion event. And both of these things were harmoniously living together. And this was literally the moment where my brand Style Rituals was born. And then I thought to myself, well, if I can psychically read a fashion magazine, then I can certainly psychically read a closet. And so I started doing intuitive closet cleanses around Manhattan. And that was early days of how my business got started.
Okay. And so what did that look like, the intuitive closet cleanse?
Yeah. So I'm an empath and can feel things in my body, feel all kinds of emotions and get information that way. And one of the things I would do is run my hand over somebody's clothes in their closet and would feel heat over an item that we needed to talk about. And sometimes I would actually get a message off the clothes. I'm like, "Oh, there's a man with blonde hair and there was this really toxic situation. What happened?" Or I would just pick it up. I'm like, what is this? Like, you have to get rid of this. And it would kind of turn into talk therapy, standing inside somebody's closet. And I mean, our closets are a living, breathing organism. And a way that they tell our stories, they tell everything about us. When you look in someone's closet, you know everything about them. Where you know where they work, you know, do they work out? You know where they live, the climate, right? Like, there's all kinds of stuff that your closet can tell about somebody. And the idea that, like, your closet, that container, if that gets too full, there's no more room in that container to add and create and become. So I would have them purge all this stuff, and stuff that was like super, super toxic, energetically toxic to them, we would light it on fire and burn it in a ceremony to release what was around that. Because, you know, it's an age-old example, but I remember more than once, you know, picking up some like ratty gym shirt and asking my client, I'm like, "What, you know, what is this?" And then the tears would start and I'd hear about how that was their ex-boyfriend's t-shirt and they're sleeping in it and they're working out in it. And then I'm also hearing that they can't get over their ex-boyfriend. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, we need to put this together here, right? Like, you can't have this around your body. Like, you're still thinking about this guy all the time. Like, you're not allowing yourself to move forward, or him, honestly. Like, let's break the chains here. So it was really interesting how something like that can affect you so much.
Yeah.
So the psychic closet cleanse was the first service I did. And then a little bit after that, I started doing one-on-one intuitive sessions using cards and crystals. Okay. And that was interesting because, again, it was all fashion inspired, because I kept thinking that I used to put trend boards together for a living. And what's on a trend board? We're seeing colors and we're seeing pictures and numbers, symbolisms, maybe little trinkets, right? different little things, textures of patterns of fabrics. And instead I was using cards and crystals now and putting these storyboards together of somebody's past, present, and future. So I really, in a way, felt like, you know, I was, what I learned in fashion was very much helping me and grounding me to do what I was doing in the wellness industry.
Yeah.
And of course, all the cards and crystals from the reading, you got to take home. And besides the fact that gift giving is my love language, I also knew from experience that you never leave a party without a gift bag. So I wanted to pass that forward to my clients and then have them take those items and put them on their altar or somewhere else that they could see them, in their car, on their desk, where they put their makeup on in the morning. I don't care, but put it somewhere you can see it. And the reason being, this is the energy you're carrying right now. And we know that energy goes where we put it. So if you're just seeing that every morning when you're putting mascara on, you're thinking about it, and that's helping you just kind of, you know, being tapped on the shoulder of like, oh yeah, that thing I'm working on, right? Or, oh, that thing I'm moving towards, that's going to kind of help start to shift your energy.
I'm curious about, like, I saw on your website that one of the words that kind of describes what you do is mysticism, that your journey sort of merges in fashion and mysticism. And yeah. So can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, what is your, how can you explain that to maybe someone listening that is not familiar with that term?
Sure. I mean, mysticism's a big wide word that gets used a lot and used in all different kinds of ways. I think about, you know, possibly some of the like ancient wisdom traditions I've studied really embody using mystical tools and traditions. So that's kind of how that word comes up for me.
Okay. And then I know that your approach to mysticism is pretty approachable, digestible, for lack of a better word. And I'm just curious, like, why is that important to you to be approachable in that way?
I think it's very important. And I kind of learned this from going to my own trainings, and I jumped down so many mystical rabbit holes on my trainings, and I still do. I'm always in a class. Like, I'm a big believer in continuing education. I'm constantly studying something with a teacher, online, in person, somewhere in the world. It's incredibly important to me. And when, you know, to no fault of my own, but just my own experience up to that point, I was walking into these rooms with these incredible teachers, and I didn't know what the fuck they were saying. And I feel like there wasn't, I didn't have a foundational knowledge for some things. Like, what was a pendulum? Why were there crystals in the room? What's an energy healer? I didn't understand any of this and was flying blind. And I would be also in the room with other people in the class that were, you know, had studied so much. Right. And they were totally fine. They're on board with everything, but I'm looking around like, what am I doing here? So I felt a calling that it was very important to approach this in a very palatable way and constantly know that part of what I do is to teach people in session or whenever anything comes up really about this, to be able to explain it in a way that everybody can understand and make it approachable. I also think when you don't make it approachable, that turns people off.
Yeah.
They get scared of it. Mm-hmm. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't understand it. And that's the last thing I want to happen, because, and again, when we hear these words, spirituality, wellness, mysticism, all this stuff, like, that, those are very broad brushstrokes that cover a whole lot of modalities, but I'd love everybody to be part of something, right? For their own self-care and their own spiritual journey. And I think it's important to make it palatable to kind of get you in the door and to start to be able to explore.
That's kind of my approach at Yoga for All Humans, is the palatable, approachable, accessible nature of it. Because yoga is the same way. You know, a lot of people are just like, oh, I can't do yoga, I can't touch my toes. Or, oh, yoga is all about, like, you know, kind of the mysticism thing, right? And a lot of people are kind of scared of it because it seems like you're not good enough, or you don't know enough to be a part of it. So I love that you have that approachable side of it, because it is, it's like, let's remove barriers of entry to, just because things aren't easily understood, or like, let's make them easier to understand. Right. That's kind of my goal too. So I align well on that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And a good way, kind of remove the veil of mystery from some of this stuff to help people to connect with it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting, just on that same note, like, I remember, because like I told you, like, after I had some of those those online events that you had during the pandemic, where you were using the tarot deck, and you did it was basically a guided meditation where you kind of walked us through like a scene, and then we could journal after. And I remember telling a friend about it, because I was like, you know, she pulled a tarot card, and in one of the meditations that you walked us through, I don't know if you told us the animal, or if you just said like, there's an animal and you climb on its back and like it takes flight, and you're kind of, you know, letting us imagine like where it's taking us and all this. And my friend was like, oh my gosh, aren't you so terrified of a tarot deck? And I was like, no, why? And she was like, what if you pull, you know, the death card? And I'm like, I feel like I've heard that multiple times throughout my life. Like, what if you pull the death card? And I'm like, Colleen explained, like, it doesn't mean literal death, and like, just little things like that, like learning little things about that, you know, where you can kind of find the meaning, the meaning in different things, and like meaning in nature. And like, I think in one of the events you talked about seeing a blackbird and what that means. And I feel like I've learned so much just from little things like that. And like, you, now I don't feel afraid of it, but.
Yeah, that's important. And it's actually the death card is always a big conversation. And
yeah,
it doesn't have to mean literal death. Like, we see death and or transformation all over the place. We see it in nature. We watch nature bloom and die every year. You could pull the death card on nature, right? Mm-hmm. Winter is the death card.
Yeah.
Right. Or if we kind of have a personal rebrand and we're like, you know what? I'm giving away my clothes. I'm giving up my job. I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I'm moving. That is the death card.
Yeah.
Right. You are deathing a former version of yourself to become anew. So I think it is really important for anyone listening that like, the death card doesn't have to be scary. I actually welcome the death card, because I know that there's, I'm going to like buckle up a little bit and put my seatbelt on, because I know there's change coming, but like, I'm like, okay, great. We're going to do new things here.
Yeah.
That I've probably been wanting.
Yeah.
And asking for. And I would say also, not for everybody. Some people might want to start with the Rider Waite style deck, where you do see the death card, the star card, you know, the four of pentacles, the two of cups, right? You're seeing those traditional cards. If that feels like too much, because that can be a lot to learn, then start with a oracle deck that might be all mantras or all goddesses or something else that feels, again, a little bit more approachable as a place to start your work with just learning, how do I pull a card? How do I then intuit it? Do I journal about it? Do I sit it on my altar and stare at it for 5 minutes a day? what are you doing, right? Like, start to understand what your actual practice is and sink into something that feels a little more approachable before getting into something that's a little bit more advanced. Like, that's always my advice to people that want to learn how to work with tarot cards.
Yeah, that's really good. Like, the first deck that I got just has words on it, like breathe, desire, things like that. And then I moved to a more traditional deck, but it's even like, it's like a watercolor. So it's not like black and, you know, it's not scary looking, but it did come with a book that has like the different layouts. So instead of just drawing one card for journaling, that's kind of where I started. Then I started doing like the more traditional like layouts. So yeah. And I, when I, like, if you go on even like Etsy or Amazon or wherever,
yeah,
look up tarot cards, I mean, you can find a Golden Girls tarot deck. Like, you, they have every kind
of there's Britney Spears. That's one I don't have yet, but I need to get.
You should. Like, is it like her doing poses or what is it?
Yes. And all of her like iconic that's outfits so through the years.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. To your point, there's like, there's a deck out there for everybody and anybody's interest at this point, which is what is so, so amazing to watch that divination practice just flourish and become something new.
Yeah. This sort of goes into another question that I had just about, I think in along the same lines of, you know, wellness and mysticism. I know we've heard a lot about self-care like over the past few years, and I'm just curious, like, what does that look like to you, and what are some examples of like self-care rituals that you would prescribe to your clients?
Yeah. I mean, that is on a case-by-case basis. The first thing I would tell somebody is that no two people's self-care looks the same. So I think it's important to find things that work for you and your lifestyle and your budget and the environment you live in and the time that you have in the week to pursue something. Because asking yourself when you're first starting to bring more self-care into your life to do something, again, that is like difficult or over your head, you're not going to continue to do the practice. Like, for example, let's just take meditation, right? Because that's a big one that everybody knows that word and has a good idea of what that means. If I said to somebody that's like kind of just getting on their self-care journey, I know what you need to do. I want you to fly to Bali and go on a 2-week Vipassana or a silent meditation. And you're going to have to turn your cell phone off and not talk to anybody. That person's going to fail, most likely. But if I tell them, hey, could you put your phone in airplane mode and sit in silence with your eyes closed for 5 minutes a day? Let's start there. So I think not making this approachable, what seems to be a big theme of what we're talking about today, and palatable for somebody, you're not helping them succeed.
And what do you think is a common misconception that people have about any part of what you do? Mysticism, crystal.
I have a good one. And we're going to talk about Sweet Kelly Outlaw that works for me. So she won't mind. So Kelly, who is our brand experience coordinator, she came in as a client and she did my mentorship. She came to Peru. She came to a school that I teach at. So she's done all kinds of things. And she knows me pretty well. And after she was working here for a while, and she's been with us now, I think, 6 years. Wow. Kelly said to me, you know, what was the biggest surprise working here? And I was like, I can't wait to hear this one. And she's like, I was like, no, Kelly, what happened? And she said, I thought that you just like probably sat around and meditated all day. She's like, I thought that's what spiritual people do. And she's like, I hear you drop F-bombs all the time. I've seen you drink bourbon. I've seen you like take down a hamburger. Like, I thought you were all vegan. And I'm like, no. So I think the perception of what somebody that engages in this work as a professional, apparently it looks a certain way or certain ways. And I was like, Kelly, I'm trying to run a business. Like, I'm taking phone calls and seeing clients and answering emails and swearing at traffic and like trying to figure out where my crystals are because they're lost in shipping. You know, there's all this stuff going on that, you know, I think people need to remember that if you are doing this from a business perspective, that you're facing the same entrepreneurial issues that anybody else is facing in other industries.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And
so, yeah, perception of people that, again, work in those industries, I think is misguided.
Yeah, I get that a lot with yoga. Like, yeah, there's people that don't know me, you know, because I'm
like, yeah, you do I'm yoga 15 hours a day.
Right. Yeah. And people always think that like my class is going to be very silly. Like Holly's been to a lot of my classes. I'll just like, you know, start laughing in the middle of teaching just because I said something funny or, you know, just like it doesn't have to be so serious all the time. You know, I think a lot of people think that it's going to be really serious. And I've been working in HR for a long time. And that's kind of the same way is it's like, you know, just for my managers to get comfortable with me, I will just, you know, take back their shit, or, you know, in the middle of a conversation. They're like, oh, okay. Like you're approachable. Yes. I think that goes back to the approachability of it all, you know?
Yeah, that's right. I love, and it is, it's like, why so serious? I think people come in and they're like, oh, I need to be very serious about this, what we're doing. And I'm like the one who's not being, you know, I'm being lighthearted and joking. I take my work very seriously, but I come in with a light heart. So,
yeah.
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 I would imagine that in your line of work, you get probably a lot of naysayers, you know, since there is, you know, the crystal and the mysticism part of things. Like, what is your response? People are like, oh, that's just woo-woo.
I love a good skeptic because I was one. That's my first answer. And then I'm happy to explain what happened to me. And I was skeptical for years about this.
Yeah. I thought about that whenever you were telling your story at the beginning, that how skeptical you were. And now look where you are, you know, what a journey, you know?
Yeah. I'm exactly where Asa Hoffman, that first psychic I met with, said I would be. He said I would leave New York, I would leave fashion, and I would live in California. It took me a minute to get there, but I am here.
I had a psychic, thankfully, tell me that I was lactose intolerant a long time ago. And I was like, now my digestive issues make a lot more sense. You know, it was just like, no duh, but I just never realized it. And of course, I questioned it too. I was like, no, I'm not. And he was like, okay, well, why don't you just go home, do a little bit of a test, don't eat dairy for a day, and then eat dairy for a day and see how you feel, you know? And lo and behold.
That's incredible, incredibly helpful. And Derek, I think you bring up the most amazing point that, like, I think when people come in for readings, they also think that there's going to be these, like, big, deep, earth-shattering messages. Sometimes there are, right? And sometimes there's also things like that that come up, like very, you know, physical daily things that you might need to take a look at. Like it's the information that you're given can be anything when you come in for an intuitive reading.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Going with an open mind.
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, I think that was the last of our questions, right? If I remember them correctly.
It was, but I was going to say, I feel like we didn't even really talk much about, you know, the business side, like Colleen mentioned, because I was just curious. I know you know, your business has from at least what I can gather from your website, you know, it seems like your business has taken many forms. Like you offer different services, you wrote the book. And so I'm just curious, if you want to say like what services you offer, but also, how do you, I'm trying to think of how I want to word this, like, how do you decide, like, I'm going to grow my business to offer this, or like, now's the right time to do this. I mean, maybe your intuitive nature, maybe you know when to expand, but I'm just curious about that part of it. Cause it does seem like you've taken several different routes over the years.
Yeah, I've definitely been a shapeshifter, and you know, it's healthy. It's healthy to change. And I've been in business now for 8 years, and it started, as I said, with the closet cleanse, intuitive closet cleanse, and a 1-hour session with clients. And then I started working with major brands at press events a lot, doing crystal readings. And so then that layer came on. And then from working with these major brands, I was around a lot of C-suite executives. So then I started to get asked to come in to do wellness days with their creative team, or certain groups of people or certain places in the company that they felt like that was needed. So then that happened. And then I started to actually, again, as I told you, I'm always in a class. I started to train more in space clearing. I had the basics, but I wanted more. And funny enough, I've been doing that for years, but I had a feature story in the mansion section of the Wall Street Journal come out in December about my brand, but specifically about the space healing component with the service I offer, which is called the Home Harmony Report, that I'm using all different kinds of modalities that I've learned in the last 15 years to do this. So I have my own style rituals, secret sauce on what I do. So I would say some of this is what is of the moment. Like, for example, here's a great example. For several years, maybe three or four years, I was doing so many brand events. And then COVID hit. Nobody is doing giant events because everybody's locked in the house. Like, that area of my business for probably about a year and a half literally disappeared. Was non-existent. And now people that are doing events, we're not having 300, 400, 500 people at events. They're 30 people, and it's being tailored in a different way. So I have to shapeshift or evolve with what's going on in the world. So I think that's important to remember. I think the space healing component has become incredibly important as of late, because guess what? People started spending so much time at home. They had more time to look at the environment that they were in and start to say, hey, wait a minute, it doesn't feel good in here. I don't like it in here. I want to change this, right? So stuff like that started to come naturally because of a situation the world found itself in. So I think it's also important as a business owner to be nimble, to be flexible, and don't, just because you started somewhere doesn't mean that's where you're going to end up with the work that you're doing. And my business will shift again. I know that. I'm open to it. I'm ready. I'm prepared. So it also, I will tell you from an intuitive perspective, it's funny to watch. This is a great example. So when I started my business, I only did in-person sessions. Mm-hmm. So I would constantly fly between New York and Los Angeles every couple of weeks, see clients, and go back to the other coast. So all of a sudden, I started getting all these inquiries to our hello box. Do you do long distance sessions? And I kept saying, no, I don't, because I don't. I didn't. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I started to watch strange things happen that, like, the only people that were reaching out were people that are like in other countries, in other time zones. So, and it was actually quite weird. I remember this specifically, that like all of a sudden, all of my clients started to like cancel. And I was like, why is my work disappearing right now? This is weird. And I was like, oh, I know why, because I'm blocking myself. I said no to the universe on this one. And I clearly know that this is something I need to pursue. And so as soon as I agreed and put on my website that I do long distance sessions, and I reached back out to all these people that said they wanted a long distance session and got them on the books, all of a sudden, all those clients that have cancer were like, oh, I'm so sorry, I had work travel, or like someone had a baby, or, you know, something happened, but I'm back. And I was like, that's interesting. So I've actually watched that happen repeatedly, that I almost feel like there'd be a, you know, like a vice almost, like a squeeze on me, kind of make changes. And until I started to like grow or make steps towards that change, I would kind of almost see like a, that's the only way I can describe it, is like a hold or like a squeeze, a vice being put on my existing business until I started to make the shifts.
Yeah, that's interesting. My yoga studio is online, right? You know, I was getting a lot of requests for on-site classes, right? So I built out an on-site version of my business where we teach at apartment complexes and businesses and those kind of things, you know? So it's like, yeah, you have to pivot, you have to shift, you have to listen. Well, are there any questions that we didn't ask you that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't think so. I think we covered a lot. Yeah.
And where can people find you?
That is a question we didn't cover. If somebody would like to learn more about Style Rituals, they can find me at stylerituals.com and any of the socials at style_rituals.
Are you on the TikTok?
I am on the TikTok.
I feel like people would like that.
What, the Style Rituals on TikTok? I bet. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the stuff that you do on Instagram, and you have a really good, I don't know if you come up with all of your ideas yourself, but your Instagram is amazing. You have really, really cool content. You. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Well, it was so nice talking to you, Colleen. Thank you for making the time for us. I know that you're busy and have a little bout of sickness, but, you know, timing is everything. So we probably wouldn't have had
a good
conversation that day for whatever reason. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Awesome.
I love that you still have the crystals, Holly.
I know. And I do have the card that you sent. I just don't have it at my desk. But it has like, you know, what each crystal is and like how I should use it. I have grown my crystal. I feel like that was right when I first started getting into crystals.
Yeah.
And I have grown my crystal collection so much since then. So I keep my crystals on display, but only the ones I need. Like I need, I kind of reevaluate like maybe every month or so. Yeah. What is kind of at my desk is where I keep them. And I also started, I don't know if you've heard of, it's another small business. It's a Black owned business called 111 Candles. And she has crystals in her candles. I think she's like a one woman shop. But I have been buying her candles for the last, she'll do a scent and then she'll kind of match the scent with the crystal. Like I have a money candle that has, you know, crystals, the specific crystals for that. And like I bought holiday candles where it was like this specific crystal reminds people it's best to give. Like all, they're always like go with the candle, and then you can, yeah. They're pretty decent size crystals. I either like put them in my plants or put them like in smaller spaces because they're smaller, but you can keep the crystals after it burns. So I feel like I have widened my crystal collection and education over the years.
Ooh. Have you built a, since you have enough now, have you built a crystal grid yet?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Ooh. Crystal, again, are there ways to build a crystal grid? Yes. Can you just do this intuitively? Please do. I think it might be fun. You could take, like how I do it is teach it, take a tarot card with something that you're working on, right? And then you could take you take the crystals and put them around the card, right? Okay. And build like a mandala almost, okay. Mm-hmm. Right? And just follow what your intuition is telling you. And again, let's just pretend you're working on something with your business. You pulled a card that has to do with, you're like, what's the message I need around business? You pull the card. And we know that like citrine is a great business crystal. So you want to put maybe 4 pieces of citrine around the card. So on each side, iron pyrite's a business crystal. Maybe you have 1 iron pyrite, so you sit it on the tarot card. And then maybe you have a bunch of clear quartz points, 8, 10, 12 of them. And you put those around because that amplifies what you're working on. I like to look at altars as tiny little vortexes of energy. Mm-hmm. So you could build this around what you're working on. So, and again, the crystals don't have to match. You could have 10 different ones and none of them are the same, but see what you want to do with that. Maybe they just form a circle around the tarot card. Also a crystal grid. There are ways to do it. And I cover that in my book, Crystal RX, but there's also like, you know, leave this up to your intuition and your own interpretation and what you have available. Like maybe you particularly don't need to go out and buy crystals, or that's not in your budget right now. So like, what do you have that you could work with in the house right now?
Yeah. Well, that's so fun.
Yeah. So give it a try. I'm going to send you a card and then you can build a crystal grid around it.
You can grid around it. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I love it.
My God. Well, Colleen, it was a fun conversation, even though I missed a part of it, but I'll go back and edit it so I'll get to hear what I missed.
Thank you. I really enjoyed getting to know you both today.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise.
Well, you have a good rest of your night, Colleen.
All right. You too. Nice meeting you all. Bye.
Bye. You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Holly, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at OrangeJulia7, also on thebitterlemon.com and on Etsy, Bitter Lemon Digital. And Derek, where can people find you?
So I am on Instagram with my personal account at Yoga with Derek. And that's D-E-R-E-K, spelled the correct way. And on Instagram for Yoga for All Humans, it is at Yoga for All Humans on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Don't judge my TikTok game. I'm still learning. On LinkedIn, you can sync up with me, Derek Hagler, on there. And Yoga for All Humans has its own LinkedIn account as well. And of course, yogaforallhumans.com. is the studio's website. Small Business Happy Hour has its own Instagram account at Small Business Happy Hour, or you can email us at smallbusinesshappyhour@gmail.com.
Cheers! See you next Tuesday!